Good morning. What a privilege I have today to join you at the end of your series in Hebrews. And today we're going to be looking at Hebrews 12, 18 to 13, verse 18. And I've been given a very, very tight title and remit for this morning. And it's this: Jesus is better than anything. You couldn't get much more broad than that, could you? But Jesus is better than anything. Or as we might say in Yorkshire, Jesus is better than out. Or we might even say, nout is better than Jesus, because there isn't anything better than Jesus. Jesus is better than everything. Jesus, God's Son, for whom, through whom, in whom, to whom, by whom all things were created. Bible tells us that Jesus is holding the whole universe together. He's the force, the glue that holds everything in place. Jesus, God's eternal Son, he's always been God's Son. His place in the Trinity. But about 2,000 years ago, he was born through Mary, took on flesh. He came into this cesspit world of ours to rescue us from our own mess. He came and showed us how to live, how to love God with all our heart, mind, soul and strength, how to love our neighbour, how to be filled with compassion and with mercy, how to live as God intended us to live. And he healed the sick and he raised little girls from the dead. And he took away leprosy from those who had skin diseases and sent them back to their families. He walked on water. He fed hungry people. And then he was killed. To rescue us from our own mess, he suffered and he went to the cross. Romans tortured him. They put him on a cross. They stuck a spear in his side so that blood and water flowed out to show that he was dead. They laid his dead body into a stone cold tomb where he laid. And then on the third day, God gave Jesus his life back. He raised him up from the dead, resurrected him. Not even death can stop Jesus. Jesus is better than death. And so to prove that he was fully alive and that sickness and sin had no hold over him, he remained on earth for 40 days in this new risen body. Do you know the word quarantine means literally 40 days? Jesus spent quarantine here on earth to show that there was no sickness, that there was nothing wrong with him, that he was fully alive. And then after 40 days with a few disciples gathered around him, he knew that it was time to return to the Father, to heaven. And so he just began to rise in thin air and they watched him go through the clouds as he took his seat in heaven to rule and to reign from there. And now he waits. He waits for the moment when he'll return again in a blaze of glory, when every eye will see him. And he'll come to restore this whole earth back to the paradise that he intended it to be. And so this is Jesus, who is better than anything. Jesus, who, when we trust in him, causes us also to know his resurrection life and to be seated in heavenly places with him. And that's what he invites you and I to do. Jesus invites you and I to rule and to reign in his kingdom with him. And Ephesians tells us that we are seated in the heavenly realms. Wow, that's Jesus' invitation. I wonder what your response is today to that invitation of Jesus to come and rule and reign with him, seated in heavenly realms, to know his resurrection power. I wonder what your response is today. I wonder if your response, like mine so often, is, I think where I am right now is close enough. I think I've got a pretty decent seat here, thank you very much. I'm pretty comfortable. I tithe, I go to church, don't do any harm to anybody. I think this is kind of close enough, thank you very much. But that is absolutely nuts. That's a ridiculous response from us. Because Jesus came and died and rose again to get rid of the close enough attitude. You see the close enough attitude here in Hebrews as we're looking. You see these two mountains described. The first one, God says, you cannot come this close. You are close enough where you are. It's a picture of the Israelites looking at this mountain that's covered in darkness and gloom and storm, and yet God himself is burning it up, and there is smoke billowing from it, and the people are terrified. And God says, in his mercy, he says, that's close enough where you are. Don't step foot on this mountain, because you will die. Even Moses trembled with fear. And that's that one mountain. But Jesus came to get rid of that close enough, don't come any closer or you'll die attitude and situation. Jesus came to say, how close can you come? How close can you come? Are you close enough to me? Jesus came as the mediator of a new system, a new covenant, that means that when he died on the cross, when that veil in the temple was torn in two, that showed that we could enter fully into God's presence, and more than that, that God wasn't restricted to a temple, to a box, but that he wanted to fill the whole earth through his Holy Spirit with his presence. Jesus asked the question, are you close enough? God was no longer confined to that Holy of Holies, but he wants to live in his people. And now he says, you can't come close enough. You can't come close enough to Jesus. I want to ask you today, are you close enough to Jesus? Close enough to hear him speak? Hebrews says that even to hear his blood speak. Says that his blood speaks a better message than that of Abel. You see, Abel was killed by his brother, and his blood cried out to God for vengeance and for judgment. But Jesus' blood cries out forgiveness, cries out it is finished, it cries out it is peace and reconciliation. Can you hear that blood crying out in your own heart? Can you hear Jesus within you sprinkling that blood on your heart and on your conscience that cleanses from all of our sins and says, come closer, come closer. Jesus is better than anything, and he died so that you could be so close to the Father. And we often sort of say kind of close enough. I wonder, are you close enough to hear God speak to you? Close enough to hear the Holy Spirit whisper in your heart? You see, Christ died for us, not just to cleanse us from our sins, but to give us new, brand new life. A life that is an adventure of faith with Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you close enough to hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit for those faith adventures? It's something that I'm learning kind of more and more. A few weeks ago now, in the height of kind of lockdown, I was on a walk with my dog, and we went kind of one of our normal routes down into a valley, just privileged to live on the edge of a valley, and went down to this valley. And as I came around kind of one corner, I could see a bunch of five lads that were kind of made a campfire, and they were hanging out there, and they shouldn't really have been there because it was lockdown. And I kind of just went on my route, which took me kind of away from them. And just as I was heading out of sight from them into some woods again, I just felt the Lord saying to me, go and speak to those lads. How will they hear the gospel unless you go and speak to them? And I stood there for a few seconds, kind of doing, do I, don't I, which way am I going to go? That kind of a thing. And stood there, just prayed, Lord. And then I was like, oh, they're just going to think I'm an idiot. They're just going to think I've come to tell them off. This isn't going to go well. And so I kind of talked myself out of it. And so I carried on my walk through these woods. And then I came to a point where I was either about to go back home, sort of circle, I'd come full circle almost back to go home, or I could just go around a little bit and I'd be back where those lads were. And I stood there at that junction, trying to hear the voice of God, although I think I knew what he was saying. And I was just praying, God, do you really want me to go? Is it just me making this up? And then I just felt God say, Mark, what if one of those lads was going to commit suicide tonight? And I was like, okay, Lord, what can I do with that? Okay, I'll go. But if they're not there, I ain't going looking for them. If they're there, I'll go. If not, I'm not going. And so I walked back around and they were still there. So with my heart beating, with my spirit praying, with my mind working overtime to figure out what I was going to say, I just went up and said hello to these five lads. And they offered me a drink, and I sat down with them and began to talk. And they were really quickly talking about spiritual things. In fact, what opened up that conversation was that one of them asked me, are you an undercover policeman? I guess they were nervous that they were where they shouldn't have been. And I said, no, you can guess what I do. Or maybe one of them suggested the guest. And one of them said, are you a leader of a church? And I was like, yeah, how did you know that? And he said, I remember you coming into my school to do an assembly. And so we just got on to kind of talking about spiritual things. And at one point, I just felt prompted again by the Holy Spirit about the fact that one of these lads might be contemplating taking his own life that very night. And so I just said, guys, can I just ask, have any of you ever thought about committing suicide? And all five of them, aged 19 years old, said they had at some point thought about taking their own life. Wow, can you imagine that? 19 years of age, that's the messed up world that we live in, that with their whole lives ahead of them, the best years of their lives right now, they'd thought about ending their own lives. And so I was able to share a bit more about God's love with them. I shared with them the app for the series The Chosen. I don't know if you've seen that, but I encourage you to look that up. The Chosen, a binge watchable series about the life of Jesus. I shared that with them, and I've kept up contact with one or two of them since then. But you know, that's just about being able to hear Jesus, to know that we had our sins forgiven, that we could be on a faith adventure with him. He's better than everything. He's better than anything that those 19-year-old lads had to look forward to. And I was able to share something of his love for them. Jesus is better than everything. Are you close enough to hear him speak? Are you close enough to hear him speak? Are you close enough to him to cleave to him? To cleave to him. That's an old word, isn't it? But King James Version uses that in Genesis, where it talks about a man leaving his father and his mother and cleaving to his wife, being united with, joining with. Are you close enough? Are you close enough to him to cleave to him? Because that's what's needed. He's better than anything else, and we are to be united with him. Jesus died for us so that we could be united with him in his death and in his resurrection. To cleave to him. We read here in these verses of Hebrews that we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everything's been shaken. They're kind of a verse and words have been used a lot during lockdown and COVID, that everything is shaking to leave what cannot be shaken. And we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Jesus is better than everything, and his kingdom cannot be shaken. When everything else is uncertain, his kingdom cannot be shaken. So long as we are close enough to cleave to him. You see, in that shaking, we have to cleave to him, or else we too will be shaken. Close enough to cleave. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about shaken, not stirred, James Bond. I guess that's just a childhood dream, eh? But shaken, not stirred. And the truth is that the kingdom cannot be shaken. But I think we can be stirred, we can be distracted, we can be derailed. And Hebrews goes on to talk about some of these things. Talks about loving one another. Or let's talk about not loving one another, how that derails us, how that stirs us, how that distracts the kingdom when we don't love one another. About how when we don't offer hospitality, how sexual immorality, how the love of money is such a distraction from the kingdom of God. And the writer of Hebrews here is saying, don't be distracted. Don't be fooled by these things. Don't be stirred by them. But stick to the kingdom that cannot be shaken, because Jesus is better than anything. Get rid of those things. Get rid of the love of money. Get rid of greed and sexual immorality. Time and time again, the New Testament tells us that. To get rid of those things so that we can cleave to Jesus, who is better than anything. You know, it's that sin, it's that stuff that hinders our hearts, that clogs us up, that pollutes us. That's what stops our closeness with Jesus. We need to know that closeness and that cleaving to him, being united with him, that being united with him, we would desire nothing else. He is our all, because he is better than anything. Close enough to cleave. I want to think also about being close enough to be content and confident. Close enough to be content and confident. Hebrews talks here about be content with what you have. Get rid of all those things. Get rid of the love of money. Flee from the love of money. And be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I'd never thought about it in these terms, but to not be content is to not believe that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content because God has said he will never leave you or forsake you. We can be content. We can turn from all those things. Jesus will always be with us. He's better than anything. And so not only can we be content, but also confident. Verse 6, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? You know, there were some of the things I was reminding myself of as I went to speak to those five lads. You know, Holy Spirit, you're with me. You're going to give me the words to say. Just help me to minister. Help me to bring life to them. You know, God, I'm nothing unless you come. And he came. He does come whenever we step out in faith. Just recently, I received a phone call from an unknown number on my phone. You kind of have that check, don't you, for a minute. It's like, do I answer it? Don't answer it. But I answered it. And it was somebody I didn't know in the area that I live, and experiencing sort of supernatural things going on in his home, objects moving around, that kind of stuff. Not something I'm very familiar with. I think I went once to another house to pray. So I just, by faith, said, yeah, I'll come, knowing that Jesus is better than anything. Jesus is better than demonic activity. He's more powerful than all things. And so I arranged to go around later that afternoon with an elder from my church. And we went and we just prayed. I didn't feel anything, either demonic, nor totally, like, nothing of the Holy Spirit, but just simply prayed in faith that Jesus was greater than anything, greater than whatever thing was there, and it had to leave. And that was probably about 3 weeks ago now. I've remained in contact with the man who called me, and he's had nothing returned to his house. In fact, he texted me just a few days ago and said, Mark, thank you for coming around and praying. I'm so glad that all that demonic activity stopped, because it would have made me ill. He has some mental health issues and some illnesses, but God is at work there, and he's starting to read the word and can just see God at work in his life, and he's just seeking God and seeking what it is to be saved. And that's just an amazing thing that God has done. But I went. Don't think just because, like, I'm a pastor or a leader or whatever, that you automatically have this confidence. It comes through trusting in God, through stepping out in faith and believing in him. It doesn't take away the anxiety. That's why we need courage. That's why we need courage and boldness to overcome the fear. We will be afraid, but God gives us the courage and the boldness to overcome. And God is faithful. So we're on a fantastic journey with my new friend. And he's been to our home for a meal, and just trying to introduce him more and more to God's word and to Jesus, who saves. Close enough for content, to be content and confident. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Not only will he never leave us or forsake us, but he's the same yesterday, today and forever. You can minister in that power. You can share Christ in that power, that he is the same. Jesus, who fed the hungry, raised the dead, cured leprosy, you know, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, never, ever changing. Then I want to come to close enough to suffer. Close enough to suffer. I'm not entirely sure I understand all that the writer of Hebrews is saying from kind of verse 10 through those next few verses about the high priests and Jesus suffering outside of the camp. But I think it's about the fact that the high priests enjoyed their position. They enjoyed kind of the sanitized version of faith, which means they were just in the temple and dealing with the blood and the cleansing side of it. But all of the activity, all of like the dirty work, all of the death stuff was outside of the camp. And it's a bit like kind of those high priests were there for the life bit and the good bit and the sprinkling bit, but they weren't really involved in the sacrifice. And so we're to be like Jesus. We're to go to where the dirty end of stuff is, where the activity takes place, the outside of the camp. And we are to get involved in the suffering. We are to be a part of, well, here it says, bear the disgrace that he bore. We're to bear the disgrace that he bore. And so we're to suffer. We'll be close enough to Jesus to suffer. To suffer for doing good. We're to go where the action is. And there's a sacrifice to be made. And it goes on to explain that some of that sacrifice of praise is about sharing with others. Because God is pleased with those kind of sacrifices. We've lived in our current home for about 15 years now, and while relationships with one set of neighbours was good at first, something soured it, and I still don't know what it was to that day. And Jane and I, my wife and I, would pray about that often, and we'd pray for an opportunity to speak to them, pray for opportunities to repair the relationship. And honestly now, every time we prayed, something bad would happen. One of our kids would kick a ball into their garden and it would smash a solar lamp, it would knock over flowers. Another time we prayed, then I ended up reversing my car off our drive into their daughter's car that was parked there and I hadn't seen. It just seemed like every time we prayed, something bad would happen and I would have to go with courage to knock on the door to say, I'm sorry, but the kids have broken a light. I'm sorry, but I've had a car accident, I reversed in. Oh, and some of that was really hard and painful. It's like, Lord, what are you doing? And then kind of COVID came, lockdown came. And so I just felt God whisper to me that I needed to reach out to them and offer to help them. They're now in their 70s. And so I asked them one day, you know, during lockdown, do you need any help? And, you know, they were so quick to say yes, praise God, so quick to say yes, that they would needed help and we could do their shopping for them. We've been doing that, and errands and prescriptions and all kinds of things. And we learned during the early parts of lockdown that it was their Ruby wedding anniversary in July. And we began to think about what we could do to make that day special for them, their 40th wedding anniversary in lockdown. And we were still thinking about that when with about 10 days to go. They came to us and said, look, on our anniversary, our daughter, who's a nurse, can't really come and celebrate with us. So we'd like to celebrate with you. And we'd like to buy you an afternoon tea and we'd love to celebrate. And so on their wedding anniversary, on a Saturday afternoon, it was a wet afternoon and we were able to put up a gazebo and they sat in that and we sat in our conservatory with the doors open. And we celebrated their wedding anniversary with them. We bought them a gift. And I asked if I could pray with them, and I just prayed a blessing over them. But, you know, sometimes trying to do good to others requires some sacrifice. We're not always sure what God is doing, but God is at work in the midst of very strange circumstances. And he works all things together for good. And so I just want to encourage you that you need to be close enough to Jesus, because he has made a way for you to come into his very presence, for his blood to be sprinkled in your hearts, that you can have a clear conscience and draw near to him, so close to him, close as you want to be. You need to be close, that you cleave with him, that you're united with him, that everything in this world loses all hold on your life. Close enough that you're content and confident in him, because he'll never leave you or forsake you. That no harm can come to you as you trust in him. And then close enough that you can mirror his life by living a life of sacrifice. Jesus is better than anything. Lay down your life that you might take it up again. Jesus is better than anything. And I want to encourage you not to give up doing good deeds, because you will harvest at the right time. Galatians 5:6 says, you will reap a harvest. And I encourage you, you know, sometimes as Christians we're so obsessed with sowing, but look for those harvest opportunities. Do good. Be close enough to Jesus to see those opportunities to harvest. Verse 18 of Hebrews 13 says, pray for us. We ensure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honourably in every way. Live honourably in every way, because Jesus is better than anything. He is the one who is securing the salvation of your soul. You're seated in heavenly realms. He, the supreme Jesus, invites you into a faith-filled, adventurous life with him. He's better than anything. Let go of everything else. You don't need any more stuff. You just need to cleave to the one who has saved you, who has rescued you, and who loves you. Let me pray for you. Father, I just want to pray for your church. Pray for your church here in Brackley. Father God, that they would know you being close to them. That they would know their hearts being set upon Jesus. That they would be close enough to hear your blood speak to them, that their sins are forgiven and that their consciences are clear. Close enough to cleave to you, to be united with you, Lord, to turn from everything else. Lord, that they would know you to be their very contentment and their confidence, and that, God, they would also know what it is to walk close enough with you to consider your suffering, to be united with you in your death, that they might also somehow attain to resurrection, Lord, and know your resurrection power at work within them. That, God, they will know and live and breathe in a way that honours Jesus, who is better than anything. To your praise and to your glory. Amen. Amen.